Chapter 4, The Land of Stories. Alex had been acting strange all week. Connor had noticed right away, because she wasn't as talkative and upbeat as she usually was. Instead, she was very quiet and looked like she was in a deep state of confusion. When they ate breakfast, she barely acknowledged it when her brother said, "Good morning." During school, she stopped raising her hand as much. After school, she barely said a word to Connor while they walked home. And as soon as they got home, Alex would run up the stairs and lock herself in her bedroom for the rest of the day. "Are you feeling okay?" Connor eventually asked her. "You seem different."
"Yes, I'm just tired," Alex said.
Connor knew she must be tired, because she didn't seem to sleep anymore. Every time he'd gotten up in the middle of the night to get a glass of water or use the bathroom that week, the lights in his sister's bedroom were still on, and he could hear her wrestling around inside, working on something. He didn't have to be a genius to know that his sister was dealing with more than just insomnia. He had seen enough health videos at school to know that girls his age were expected to start going through mood swings and changes, but Alex had become another person entirely. Something very serious was bothering her, and she was keeping it to herself.
"Can I borrow some of your pencils?"
a wide-eyed and wide-awake Alex asked him late one night. It was like a peacock asking to borrow some feathers. He wasn't certain how to handle the request. Surely she wasn't doing homework at this hour.
"Don't you have, like, hundreds?" Connor asked her.
"Yes, but I've lost them all," she said.
He shared the few that he had with her. Alex took them and quickly disappeared into her room again. She didn't even seem to mind that they were chewed on or were missing the erasers. The next night, Connor kept waking up to a peculiar humming sound coming from Alex's room. It was quiet but had a strong vibration that he could feel as much as he could hear.
"Alex," Connor said, knocking on his sister's door. "What is that sound? I'm trying to sleep and it's driving me crazy."
"It's just a bee. I shoot him out the window,"
the frantic Alex responded from behind the door.
"A bee?" a puzzled Connor asked.
"Yes, a very big bee. It's mating season, you know, so they're quite aggressive this time of year,"
Alex called out.
All right,"
Connor said, and went to bed. But these happenings were nothing compared to the events during the next day at school.
"Can anyone tell me the names of the rivers that ran through ancient Mesopotamia?"
Mrs. Peters asked the class during a history lesson. As usual, she had no volunteers.
"Anyone?"
Mrs. Peters asked. Everyone was looking at Alex and expecting her hand to shoot up into the air at any second. But Alex was just staring at the floor. She wasn't paying any attention to anything.
"The Tigris and Euphrates," Mrs. Peters informed the class. "Can anyone tell me what the area between these two rivers is believed to be?"
She asked the question in Alex's direction, but it was no use. Alex was lost in her own thoughts.
"Miss Bailey, perhaps you know the answer,"
Mrs. Peters pleaded.
"To what?" Alex asked, snapping out of her trance.
"The question," Mrs. Peters said.
"Oh," Alex said. "No, I don't."
She rested her head on her hand and continued staring at the floor. Mrs. Peters and the rest of the class didn't understand what was happening. Alex always knew the answers. How was the class going to function without her?
"The cradle of civilization,"
Mrs. Peters told the class, answering the question.
"Many believe that mankind started there." "Miss Bailey!"
Alex sat up quickly in her seat. The most shocking thing that had ever happened in the classroom had occurred. Alex Bailey had dozed off in the middle of class.
I am so sorry, Mrs. Peters," Alex pleaded. "I don't know what came over me. I haven't been sleeping very well lately."
Mrs. Peters was staring at her as if she had just witnessed a gruesome rural animal give birth.
That's all right," the teacher said.
"Do you need to see the nurse?"
"No, I'm fine. I'm just a little sleepy," Alex said. "I promise that'll never happen again."
Connor had been watching the whole thing like it was a train wreck. All he could do was shake his head. What had happened to Alex? Where was his real sister? She was turning into him. The strange humming sound Connor had heard the night before suddenly filled the classroom. Alex sat straight up in her seat, anxious. Her eyes grew larger than they had ever been before. A few of the other students looked around, trying to figure out where the sound was coming from.
"Can anyone tell me the technologies Mesopotamia brought into the Bronze Age?"
Mrs. Peters asked, oblivious to the humming.
"Anyone?"
she asked again. Alex's hand shot straight into the air.
"Yes, Miss Bailey,"
Mrs. Peters happily called on her.
"May I use the restroom?
Alex peeped. Mrs. Peters sighed with disappointment. Yes, you may, she replied.
Before she had finished granting Alex permission to leave the classroom, Alex had already jumped out of her seat, grabbed her school bag, and headed out the door. Connor watched his sister leave. His eyes were bulging with suspicion. Why had she taken her backpack with her to the bathroom? He had to know what was going on. He was going to confront his sister here and now at school, where she had no place to run and no bedroom to lock herself into.
Mrs. Peters? Connor called out.
Yes, Mr. Bailey?
Mrs. Peters asked.
Can I see the nurse?
He asked.
What for? She asked.
He hadn't thought this far into his plan.
My elbow hurts, Connor said.
Mrs. Peters stared at him blankly. She may have believed him more if he had told her he was a dinosaur.
Your elbow hurts? She asked.
Yes, really bad. I banged it on my desk and now it's just killing me,
Connor said, clutching his perfectly fine elbow. Mrs. Peters squinted and rolled her eyes, two of her trademark indications of annoyance in one expression.
Fine, the teacher said. But I'm going to have to write you a pass.
Connor was out the door before she could finish her sentence. Meanwhile, Alex burst into the girls' restroom. She quickly looked underneath all the stalls to make sure she was alone. She zipped open her school bag, pulled out the Land of Stories, and set it on top of a sink. It was glowing and humming more than ever.
Please turn off. Please turn off, Alex said to the book. I'm at school. I can't get caught with you here.
The sound and shine slowly faded, and the Land of Stories returned to being just a normal book. Alex sighed with relief, but panicked once more when someone else suddenly charged inside the restroom. It was her brother.
Bees don't have mating seasons, Alex, Connor said with a tightened brow and his hands on his hips. I looked it up. They come from colonies just like ants, even the big ones. They don't have schedules.
Connor, what are you doing in here? You can't be in the girls' bathroom, Alex shouted.
I'm not leaving until you tell me what's going on, Connor demanded. You've been lying to me all week. I know something's up. I have twin tuition.
Twin tuition? Alex asked sarcastically.
I made it up, Connor said. It means I know when something's bothering you, even if you tell me nothing is. At first, I thought you were just having girl issues.
Oh, Connor, please, Alex interjected.
Then, after all the strange buzzing noises and late nights, I figured Mom must have gotten you a cell phone and didn't want me to know about it. But then I remembered you have no friends, so who would be calling and texting you?
Alex grunted. Now he was being accusative and rude.
But I know you well enough to know that it would take something much worse to make you act this way, Connor said. You're quiet, you don't know any of Mrs. Peters' answers, and you're falling asleep in class. You're acting like me, so just tell me, what's your problem?
Alex didn't say a word. She just stared at her feet. She was so ashamed at how she had been acting, but she knew no one would believe her if she told them why she had been that way, except maybe her brother. Connor looked around the girls' bathroom.
Gosh, it's so nice in here. The boys' bathroom looks like the bottom of a hazardous waste barrel. Wait, why do you have Grandma's book with you?
I don't know what's going on!
Alex burst into the loud and awkward tears one cries when exhausted and overly stressed. Connor took a step back for his own protection. He had never seen his sister so hysterical.
At first, I thought I was just hallucinating, Alex said. I thought maybe I was having a reaction to something Grandma made us for dinner. That was the first night it happened. But then it kept happening, so I knew it wasn't a reaction.
Alex, what are you talking about? Connor asked.
The Land of Stories book, Alex yelled. It glows! It hums! Every day it gets louder and brighter. I've lost so much sleep trying to figure out how and why it does it. It breaks all the laws of science.
Ah, Connor said with raised eyebrows. Alex, I think we should go see the nurse.
You must think I'm insane, Alex told him. Anyone would come to that conclusion unless they saw it themselves, but I promise I'm telling the truth.
I don't think you're insane, Connor lied, starting to think his sister was definitely going insane.
It happens once or twice a day, Alex said. I was afraid Mom would find it, so I brought it to school. The last thing she needs to worry about is a possessed book lying around her house.
Connor didn't know what to say. He briefly imagined the future trips he and his mother would take to see his sister at the local asylum and the wisecracks he would make about the cool white jacket she got to wear. Clearly, his sister had lost her mind. But after all they'd been through, he couldn't blame her. He kept thinking about how his dad would have handled the situation. What story would he have used to comfort Alex? Alex, Connor said with understanding eyes. We've been through a lot in the last year. It's perfectly normal to feel overwhelmed and... The humming started again. They looked back at the land of stories on the sink. To Alex's relief and Connor's horror, it was glowing. Connor jumped back against the wall as if he were in the presence of an explosive.
The Land of Stories book, Connor yelled. It glows! It hums!
I told you, Alex said. Connor's mouth was open so wide it was almost touching his chest.
Is it radioactive? He asked.
I doubt it, Alex told him. She reached for the book.
Don't touch it, Alex,
Connor shouted.
Relax, Connor,
Alex reassured him. I've been dealing with this all week. Using one finger, she flicked the book open, and the entire room was illuminated. All the illustrations and writing had disappeared, and the pages seemed to be made out of pure light. Alex leaned closer to the book.
Listen, do you hear that?
She asked.
I can hear birds and leaves. I've never heard sounds come out of it before.
Connor edged away from the wall and leaned down with his sister. The sounds of birds chirping and trees blowing in the wind echoed off the tile and porcelain in the bathroom.
How is this possible?
Connor asked.
Are you sure it doesn't have batteries or something?
My most educated analysis, with all means of science and technology in mind, is that it's magic, Alex said.
There's no other possible explanation.
Do you think Grandma knows about this? Connor asked.
She had the book for years before she gave it to us. Do you think this has happened before?
I don't think Grandma would have given it to us if she knew what it was capable of, Alex said. You're right, Connor said. She still cuts up my meat when she comes for dinner because she doesn't trust me with knives.
There's more, Alex said.
She reached into her school bag and pulled out a pencil. Carefully, she placed the pencil on the open book. It quickly sank into the glowing page and disappeared.
Where'd it go?
Connor sputtered in utter astonishment.
I don't know, Alex said. I've been dropping things into it all week. Pencils, books, dirty socks, and anything else I could find that I knew I wouldn't miss. I think it may be some kind of portal.
A portal to what? Connor asked. Alex didn't have an answer. Of course, there was one location that she had hoped it might lead to. The twins leaned down even closer to the book, their noses almost touching it. They had to squint because it was so bright. Suddenly, a bright red bird flew out of the book. The twins screamed and ran around the room in panic. They bumped into each other, into the walls, and into the sinks as the bird zoomed above them. It was just as panicked as they were. Finally, Connor opened the bathroom door and the bird flew out of the room and into the world.
You didn't say things came out of it, too,
Connor yelled.
I didn't know. That's the first time that's happened,
Alex yelled back at him. The book slowly dimmed and returned to normal. Connor's head was spinning. He couldn't believe all the things he had just witnessed. No wonder Alex was having such a rough week. He now felt his own sanity might be slipping, too.
We have to get rid of this book, Connor exclaimed. After school, we should ride our bikes down to the creek and toss it in so no one ever finds it.
We can't get rid of it, Alex said.
It's Grandma's book. It's been in our family forever.
Birds are flying out of it, Alex. I'm sure she'll understand, he said.
What if a lion or a shark comes out of it next? I know it drives you crazy when you don't know about stuff, but this is one matter you need to let go. It could be more dangerous than we think. Who knows what could happen?
She knew her brother was right, but there was something about the whole situation that intrigued her past the point of reason.
I think you're overreacting, Alex said. I don't want to get rid of it until I know more about it.
She closed the book, put it back in her school bag, and walked out of the restroom.
Alex, don't walk away! Alex! Connor called out after her.
The twins returned to class. All the students were silently reading their history books.
Alex, we need to talk, Connor whispered.
Mr. and Miss Bailey, please have a seat and read the chapter on Mesopotamia, Mrs. Peters ordered from her desk.
Yes, Mrs. Peters, Alex said, and then turned back to her brother and whispered, We'll talk about it later, Connor.
Connor let out a sound similar to something a bear would make.
Mr. Bailey, how was the nurse?
Mrs. Peters asked.
There was no need. My elbow started feeling much better before I got there,
Connor said, holding the other elbow than the one he had previously claimed was hurting. Mrs. Peters raised an eyebrow so high it was almost above her. The twins sat at their desks and opened their history books, but neither of them could actually read. Their thoughts were so loud it was impossible to focus on anything. Connor kept looking up at his sister, hoping she'd turn around so he could make some sort of gesture to make her understand how serious the situation was. Alex could feel her brother's eyes in the back of her head, so she remained facing forward, set on ignoring him. And then, the worst possible thing that could have happened, happened. The land of stories began humming in the quiet classroom from the inside of Alex's bag. She looked back at her brother, finally making eye contact. What were they going to do? Mrs. Peters had been so caught up in her lesson plan that she hadn't heard it earlier. Was it possible for her to miss it again?
What is that noise? Mrs. Peters demanded.
All of the students were looking around the room, wondering the same thing. Alex and Connor were terrified. They felt like their stomachs had fallen out of their bodies. Mrs. Peters got up from her desk and started searching around the room, like a coyote sniffing out its prey. She walked up and down the aisles of the desks, getting closer and closer to Alex.
If anyone knows what that is, they'd better tell me before I find it, the teacher warned.
Alex could feel her heartbeat in her throat. There was no telling what could happen if her teacher found the book. She could only imagine what a fuss the school would make of the discovery. Perhaps they'd call the local news stations. Perhaps government officials would take the book away for experimental testing. Perhaps her family would be taken away because they had been in such close contact with it. Mrs. Peters arrived at Alex's desk.
Miss Bailey, is there something in your bag? She asked.
All the color in Alex's face drained away. She needed a miracle. Suddenly, a large history book flew from the back of the classroom and hit Mrs. Peters on the head, leaving a large dent in her curly hair. The entire class turned to the back of the room and saw Connor's extended hand. He had just thrown a book at their teacher. Mrs. Peters' face turned bright red. A charging bull would have seemed harmless compared to the way she was looking at Connor.
Mr. Bailey, what on earth has gotten into you?
She screamed. The whole school must have heard her. For a brief moment, Connor saw his entire life flash before his eyes. He honestly thought he was about to die. His face was so white, he was almost transparent.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Peters, Connor whimpered. There was a bee. I didn't mean to hit you, he lied.
Steam was practically coming out of the teacher's ears and nostrils.
Detention, Mr. Bailey. For the rest of this week, next week, and the week after that, Mrs. Peters said.
She returned to her desk and immediately began filling out every detention slip she had in her possession. Thankfully, the room had become so tense that everyone had forgotten about the humming sound, and even more thankfully, they had noticed it slowly fade away. Connor's mission was accomplished. He knew he'd done the right thing, not as a student, but as a brother. Soon the bell rang, and all the students left their desks and filed out of the classroom, except for Connor, who remained seated. Alex walked up to him.
Thanks for that, she said.
You owe me one, Connor told her. She nodded and then left the classroom to walk home alone. Connor remained seated until Mrs. Peters finished filling out the detention slips.
Come here, Mr. Bailey, she said.
Connor approached her desk as if it were on fire.
Throwing things in my classroom will never be tolerated. Do you understand me, Mr. Bailey?
She said, heavily pronouncing each syllable of every word.
One more incident like that and I will have you expelled.
He gulped and nodded. She handed him a large stack of detention slips.
Your mother will need to sign all of these, Mrs. Peters told him.
He nodded again.
I'm really sorry, Connor said. I hope I didn't hurt you.
He was so genuine that even Mrs. Peters could sense his regret. She knew that deep down, Connor had always been a good kid, a horrible student, but a good kid nonetheless.
It's all right, Mr. Bailey, she said. I believe I have underestimated the effect your family situation has had on you and your sister. I'm going to contact your mother with a list of different after-school programs I think you and your sister should take part in, as well as a list of self-help books that may be beneficial.
Connor nodded in agreement.
I think if you had some place to escape to once in a while, it'd help you deal with whatever you're going through, she said.
Connor continued nodding. If there was ever a time in his life when he needed an escape from reality, it was now. And he was sure his sister would agree. And then, like lightning, the thought hit him.
Oh my God, Alex, Connor thought. She's gonna travel into the book herself. That's why she's been holding on to it. That's why she's refused to get rid of it.
Connor dropped all the detention slips and bolted toward the door.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Peters. I can't go to detention today. Something just came up. Mr. Bailey, get back here right now,
she yelled after him, but it was too late. He was already gone. Connor was running as fast as he could down the street. Alex had gotten so much of a head start. Would he make it in home in time to stop her?
What if she was already gone by the time he got there? What if he never saw her again?
His feet began to ache. A horrible pain grew in his side, and his heart felt like it was beating out of his chest. But he continued running. He just prayed he wasn't too late.
It hadn't been more than 5 minutes since Alex had gotten home when the Landa stories began acting up again. She ran up the stairs to her bedroom and promptly shut the door behind her. Alex took the Landa stories out of her school bag and placed it on her bedroom floor. She opened the cover, and her room lit up from its golden glow. She smiled to herself. Alex had always hoped something magical would happen to her, and now something finally was. She pulled out a pencil from her school bag and placed it on the top of the book and watched it disappear. Alex looked around the room for other disposable things she could drop into the book. She was out of pencils, and the books left in her bookshelf were ones she wanted to keep. She looked down at her school bag. She did have plenty of school bags. She placed her whole bag on top of the book and watched as it, too, slowly sank into the storybook. Where were all these things going? Was it transporting them to another part of the world? Would she find a pile of her school supplies in India or China? Or did the books send the items someplace else entirely? Was it possible they were going to another world? Was it the world that Alex secretly hoped for? There was only one way to find out. It was an idea she had managed to suppress all week. What if she went into the book? No, she couldn't possibly do such a stupid thing. What if she never came out? But what if she stuck her hand into the book? What would happen? Would it hurt? Would her whole arm disappear? Alex's curiosity overruled her caution. She sat on her knees and bent over the book very carefully. Alex started with just her fingertips. So far, so good. There was no pain. She only felt a warm, tingly sensation. Alex reached farther. She was wrist-deep now, and still nothing had happened that worried her. She went farther. The book was up to her elbow. If the book hadn't been there, her hand would surely be sticking through the ceiling downstairs. Alex leaned forward even farther, almost shoulder-deep into the book. She moved her arm around, seeing if there was anything to grab onto inside it. Suddenly, her bedroom door burst open, and Connor ran inside, sweating and out of breath.
"Alex, don't do it!"
He completely startled her. Alex lost her balance and fell, head first, into the book.
"Alex!"
Connor cried out to his sister. He jumped to the ground, trying to grab her foot before she disappeared entirely. But it was too late. Alex had fallen into the Landa stories. Chapter 5. From the Mouth of a Frog. Alex was no longer in her bedroom. She was falling into a world of light. She fell farther and farther, faster and faster. She was dizzy and scared. She screamed out for help but couldn't hear her own voice. Would she ever stop falling? Was she going to die? Was she dead? She wondered if she would ever see her family again. She could hear birds chirping and trees blowing in the wind. The noise seemed to get closer and closer, but she just kept falling and falling, not knowing where she was falling to.
"Ouch!"
Alex said, hitting the ground. Her impact was hard enough to hurt, but not hard enough to seriously injure her. Had it not been for the rough landing, she would have thought she was dreaming for sure. Alex quickly got to her feet. She felt her pulse to make sure her heart was still working. She was still alive, from what she could tell. She was so thankful to have finally stopped falling. But where exactly had she fallen to? She was standing on a dirt path in the middle of a thick forest. The trees were tall and dark, with bright green moss covering their trunks. The sun's rays shined through a light mist. Birds squawked from high in the trees, and if she listened closely enough, she could hear a tiny stream in the distance. Alex spun around, looking in all directions. Her breathing increased as she took in her new surroundings. Was she overreacting or not reacting enough to what had just happened? And what exactly had just happened? She looked up to see if there was an opening she had fallen through, hoping to see some sort of window into her bedroom, but all she saw were tree branches in the sky above her.
"Where am I?"
she asked herself.
"Ah!"
As if he had fallen right out of thin air, Connor landed hard on the ground beside his sister. He was pale and screaming, and his limbs were stretched out in all directions.
"Am I alive? Am I dying? Am I dead?"
he asked from the ground with his eyes tightly closed.
"You're alive,"
Alex told him. She had never been so happy to see him.
"Alex, is that you?"
Connor asked. He slowly opened his eyes, one at a time, and looked around.
"Where are we?"
he asked as she helped him to his feet.
"It looks like some kind of
Forest, she said. It was unlike any forest they had ever seen, in real life at least. The colors were so vivid and the air was so crisp. It was as if they had fallen into a painting Alex was positive she'd seen before.
Look, Connor said, pointing at the ground. All of our pencils.
The path was littered with the pencils Alex had been dropping into the book all week. She also found her school bag and a few of her dirty socks in the middle of the mess. But where were all the books she had dropped into the land of stories?
So this is where they all went, Alex said.
But where is here? Connor asked. How far away from home are we?
Alex couldn't answer him. She was starting to become just as worried as he was. They were worse than lost.
This is all your fault, Alex, he said.
My fault? Alex yelled. We wouldn't be here if you had just knocked on my door instead of barging in like the house was on fire.
I knew you were planning this, Connor said. I had to stop you.
I wasn't planning on going into the book. I was just testing it out, Alex explained. You didn't have to follow me here.
Oh, sure. Was I just supposed to leave you in the book by yourself? He exclaimed. What was I supposed to tell Mom when she got home? Hi, Mom. Hope you had a good day at work. Alex fell through a book. By the way, what's for dinner? Give me a break.
Connor began jumping upward as high as he could.
What are you doing? Alex asked.
We fell from somewhere up here. There's got to be a way back, he said,
but all his jumping was pointless. Connor eventually tired himself out, and he took a seat on the ground against a tree trunk.
What if we were transported to another country or something? Connor asked.
His forehead became more wrinkled the further he thought about it.
What if it took us to Canada or Mongolia or somewhere? How long is it going to take for Mom or someone to find us?
Suddenly, the ground started shaking. A powerful rumbling had consumed the forest. The branches of the tree shook, and the small rocks on the ground began jumping as something massive moved closer toward them.
What's happening now? Connor yelled.
Let's take cover, Alex said.
She grabbed her bag, and the twins ran off the path and into the forest a little way and took refuge behind a particularly wide tree. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. A huge cavalcade of soldiers on white horses rode past them. Their armor was clean and shiny. They carried green and silver shields with large red apples painted on them and waved flags with the same design.
Alex, did we go back in time?
Connor anxiously asked his sister.
That looks like something straight out of medieval times.
The pencils were all obliterated under the horses' hooves. The soldiers were moving at such a fast and forceful pace that none of them noticed the awestruck twins peeking out from behind the tree. Alex was fixated on their shields. A red apple was such an odd thing to be displayed on a shield. But there was something so familiar about it. She couldn't put her finger on it. The rumbling slowly faded away as the soldiers disappeared down the dirt path. The twins both stayed behind the tree for a few moments, making sure the coast was clear.
I don't know about you, but I've had about as much excitement as I can handle for one day, Connor told Alex.
A poster pinned to a nearby tree caught Alex's eye. She walked over to it and pulled it off the tree for further inspection. It was old, with faded writing, and a picture of a disgruntled-looking little girl with curly blonde hair was centered on it. The poster read, Wanted, dead or alive, Goldilocks. For burglary, thievery, and running from the law. Alex's face went white, and she stopped breathing for a moment. She had realized where they were. No wonder the trees had been so recognizable. She had seen pictures of them so many times growing up. The book had taken them to the exact place she had hoped.
Is it possible? She asked herself.
The wheels on her head had never spun as fast as they were now.
Is what possible? Connor asked. Do you know where we are?
I think so, Alex told him.
Where?
Connor asked, fearing the answer.
Connor, we went into the book, she explained,
but he wasn't following her.
I think we're actually in the land of stories.
She handed him the wanted poster and he read it. His eyes grew as wide as a lemur's.
No, 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 this cannot be happening. This is crazy, he said, shaking his head.
He handed the poster back to his sister as if it were infected with rabies. He couldn't believe what she was saying. He didn't want to believe what she was saying.
Are you telling me we're in the fairy tale world?
I'd recognize this forest anywhere. It's straight out of Grandma's book,
Alex said with an unplanned smile.
But it makes perfect sense. Where else would it have taken us?
We just fell through a book. Nothing makes sense, Connor said. So are we stuck here or what? How do we get home?
I don't have all your answers, Connor, Alex said. Don't forget, all of this just happened to me, too.
Connor began pacing around the trees with his hands on his hips.
I can't believe I ditched attention and wound up in another dimension, he said.
Alex was rather grateful her brother had come after her. They had lived together all their lives and had been in the same classroom since kindergarten. She didn't know if she could handle being in a different dimension by herself.
I hope you're happy, Alex, Connor said. I told you we should have thrown the book into the creek.
Enough with the blaming, Alex said. It doesn't matter how we got here. The point is, we're here now. What matters is finding someone who can help us get home.
Excuse me, may I help you?
Said a proper voice behind the twins. They jolted at the sound of another voice besides their own. They turned around to see who it had come from, and once they saw, they both wished they hadn't. Standing behind Alex and Connor was what best could be described as a frogman. He was tall, with a wide face, big glossy eyes, and shiny green skin. He wore a dapper three-piece suit and carried a large glass jar of lily pads.
Forgive me for eavesdropping, but I'm rather good with directions if you need some, he said with a very wide smile.
Alex and Connor were so petrified that they were paralyzed. If they needed any more evidence that they were in the fairy tale world, this was their proof.
You look awfully young to be in the forest by yourselves, the frogman said. Are you lost?
Connor let out a high-pitched squeal that lasted much longer than it should have.
Please don't eat us,
he said, and dropped to the ground in a fetal position. The frogman looked down at him with a frown.
Young man, I have no intention of eating you, he said. Is he always like this?
The frogman asked Alex. Alex responded with a squeal almost identical to the one her brother had made.
I know, don't worry, I'm used to people screaming at me, the frogman told them. Get it out of your systems, the shock will only last a minute.
We're sorry, Alex finally managed to say. It's just that, where we're from, there aren't many, frog people. Sorry if that isn't the politically correct term for what you are.
Connor let out another high-pitched noise. It wasn't a scream this time, but it was embarrassing nonetheless. The frogman studied their faces and paid special attention to their clothes.
Where exactly are you from?
Pretty far from here, Alex said.
A piercing set of wolf howls echoed through the forest. All three of them jumped at the sound. The frogman looked around the trees with fear in his big, glossy eyes.
It's getting dark, the frogman said. We'd better get inside. Please, follow me home. It's just a few minutes' walk from here.
Nice try, Connor said.
The wolf howls echoed again. This time they were much louder than the first. Wherever the wolves were, they were getting closer.
I know I look scary now, said the frogman to the twins, but I'm nothing compared to some of the creatures that lurk around these woods at night. I promise I will not harm you.
There was such concern in his eyes, it was hard not to trust him. The frogman took off at a brisk walk deeper into the forest. Alex nudged Connor.
We'd better follow him.
Are you crazy? I'm not going home with a giant frog,
Connor whispered to her.
What do we have to lose?
Alex asked.
Besides our lives,
Connor said. But despite his protest, he was dragged up by his sister and pulled in the direction the frogman was leading them. The twins hurried behind the frogman for a good while. They zigzagged between trees and jumped over boulders and tree roots that stuck up from the ground. The deeper they went into the forest, the thicker the trees became. It got dark very quickly and was almost pitch black by the time they reached the frogman's home. Alex and Connor stayed close together. With every step, they second-guessed if they had made a smart choice going with a strange creature.
This way, he said.
The frogman brushed aside some dead vines growing over a large wooden door that was camouflaged into the side of a small hill. He pulled the door open and led the hesitant twins underground. He looked back into the forest, making sure they hadn't been followed, before shutting the door behind him. It was very dark underground. Alex and Connor were so close together, they could have been mistaken for Siamese twins.
Forgive the mess. I wasn't expecting company,
the frogman apologized, and lit a lamp with a match. Alex and Connor didn't know what to expect at the frogman's home, but what they were seeing definitely wasn't it. They were in a large room with dirt walls and a low dirt ceiling. Roots from a tree growing above them grew down like a chandelier. A cluster of big, cushy chairs and sofas, many of the cushions had the stuffing sticking out of them, sat in the center of the room and were angled to face a small fireplace. Nearby, teacups and pots hung from hooks over a tiny kitchenette. To Alex's delight, there were books everywhere. Shelves of books lined the dirt walls. Piles of books were stacked on every available surface and on the ground. It was as if the room were infested with literature.
Connor, Alex whispered close to him, look around at this place. It's like we're having our own Lucy and Mr. Tumnus moment.
Connor looked around and saw what she meant. If he offers us Turkish delight, I don't care what you say, we're getting out of here, he whispered back.
It's a little dirty, but it's cozy, the frogman said. It's hard to find a landlord that will house a frog, so I did the best I could with what I had.
He placed his jar of lily pads on the mantel and immediately started a fire in the fireplace. He filled a tea kettle with water from a pitcher, placed it over the fire, and took a seat in a big white chair closest to it. He crossed his legs and folded his hands neatly in his lap. He was one proper frog.
Please have a seat,
the frogman said, gesturing to the sofa in front of him. The twins reluctantly did as he asked. The sofa was rather lumpy, so they had to shift around in their seats to get comfortable.
What are you?
Connor asked the frog.
Connor, don't be rude, said his sister, elbowing him in the side.
It's quite all right, the frogman said with a complicated smile. I understand my parents take some time to get used to. Even I haven't fully adapted to it yet.
You mean you weren't always a, frog person?
Alex asked as politely as she could.
Heavens no, the frogman said. I was cursed years ago by a very aggressive witch.
Why?
Alex asked. She was fascinated by how casually he said it.
To teach me a lesson, I suppose, the frogman told her. I used to be a very vain young man. The witch transformed my appearance so I would lose all the things I took for granted.
His wide smile softly faded. It had obviously been a very long and painful experience for him, and he still had a sad sense of loss and longing about him. The twins had never seen a frog look so sad.
I can't imagine what that must have been like, Alex said, beaming with sympathy.
Can we call you Froggy? Connor asked with a small smirk.
Connor!
Alex reprimanded.
It's quite all right, the frogman nodded, and his smile returned. I've learned that the more people embrace their disadvantages, the less disadvantaged they become. Please, call me Froggy. I prefer it.
Connor shrugged and smiled.
May I get you some lily pad tea?
Froggy asked the twins. Both the twins nodded. They didn't want to be rude. Froggy retrieved the tea kettle from the fire and hopped, literally, to the kitchenette and poured water into three teacups. He opened the jar on the mantel and dropped a lily pad into each teacup and stirred.
Do either of you take flies with your tea?
He asked, reaching for another jar on his mantel, this one filled with dead flies.
No thanks, Connor said, trying to quit.
Suit yourself, Froggy said, and dropped a few flies into his tea.
He handed them each a teacup and reseated himself across from them. They stared down at it for a few moments before deciding they'd at least pretend to drink it.
What are your names? Froggy asked the twins. I'm Alex, and this is my brother Connor.
A large and happy smile came to Froggy's face.
Are you by chance Alex Bailey?
Froggy asked, grinning from ear equivalent to ear equivalent.
Yes.
Alex was shocked. How did this amphibian know who she was?
As in, this book belongs to Alex Bailey?
Froggy asked. He leaned over the side of his chair and pulled up a stack of books, opening one to show where the phrase was written inside it.
Those are my books,
Alex said excitedly, recognizing the books she had dropped into the land of stories.
I was wondering what had happened to them.
It was so peculiar, Froggy explained. I was out collecting flies and was walking down the path to the swamp when one just fell from the sky and landed on my head. I returned the next day and found several more in the same spot. It was the oddest thing that's ever happened to me.
You mean, besides being turned into a frog, right?
Connor asked.
Because if I were you, that would be on the top of my list.
Ouch!
Alex elbowed her brother. Froggy ignored Connor and went on with his explanation.
As you can see from my shelves, I love to collect books, especially when I'm not expecting to, he said. And these books were unlike any I had ever read. They described people and places I had never seen or heard of, and I thought I had seen it all. The authors wrote about such interesting places. Could you imagine a world without witches or trolls or giants? What imaginations!
Froggy chuckled at the thought of this. The twins laughed along with the best fake laughs they could muster.
Please keep them. I have duplicate copies at home,
Alex told him. Froggy was delighted to hear this. Connor cleared his throat.
Speaking of home, I don't mean to interrupt this little book club, but we're very lost and would like to know where we are.
Froggy's glossy eyes went back and forth between the twins, watching them closely.
Oh, children, you wouldn't be here if you knew where you were, Froggy said. You're in the dwarf forests.
He had expected to get some sort of worried reaction from the twins, but Alex and Connor just stared up at him with little expression.
The dwarf forests? Alex asked. What are the dwarf forests?
You've never heard of them? Froggy asked,
completely appalled. The twins both shook their heads.
It's a very dangerous place, Froggy told them. It's the only designated area of land without a ruler or a government. It's a kingdom where everyone is their own king. It used to be populated by dwarfs who worked in the mines, but now it's just full of criminals and fugitives mostly. It's a place where people go when they don't want to be found.
Knowing they had not only traveled into another world, but were in a dangerous part of that world did nothing to help the twins' anxiety level.
Are there other kingdoms? Alex asked.
Froggy was stunned. It was as if she had asked him what color the sky was. However, he seemed to be enjoying their unfamiliarity.
Of course, he said. There's the Northern Kingdom, the Sleeping Kingdom, the Charming Kingdom, the Corner Kingdom, the Fairy Kingdom, the Red Riding Hood Kingdom, the Elf Empire, the Dwarf Forests, and the Troll and Goblin Territory. How can you possibly not know this?
This was difficult for the twins to wrap their heads around. How big was the fairy tale world? Their puzzled faces inspired Froggy to hop out of his seat and cross to one of the bookshelves and return with a large, rolled-up scroll. He handed it to the twins, and they unrolled it. It was a large, detailed map of the new world they were in. The fairy tale world was a wide continent, bordered by mountain ranges and covered in forests, with castles and palaces and villages scattered all around. The Northern Kingdom was the largest of the kingdoms and took up most of the top of the map. The second largest was the Charming Kingdom, spread across to the south. And the third largest was the Sleeping Kingdom, which stretched along the east. The Dwarf Forest covered the majority of the west. The tiny Corner Kingdom was tucked away in the southwest corner of the continent, and in the northwest corner was the Elf Empire. In between the Charming Kingdom and the Sleeping Kingdom was the Fairy Kingdom, and just above that was the Troll and Goblin Territory. The Fairy Kingdom looked beautiful, as it was very colorful and seemed to sparkle on the map. The Troll and Goblin Territory looked frightening and appeared to be surrounded by large boulders and rocks, preventing anything from going in or coming out. In the very center of it all was the Red Riding Hood Kingdom, circled by an unmistakable brick wall of gigantic proportions. Alex and Connor couldn't believe it. The world they had grown up hearing about was real. It was all real, and it was bigger and better than they could have ever imagined. Alex couldn't help but get emotional. Tears began to flood her eyes.
Together, all the kingdoms create the Happily Ever After Assembly, Froggy explained.
The Happily Ever After Assembly? Connor asked with a slight touch of sarcasm in his voice.
It's the organization formed to uphold the treaty all the rulers signed so that all the kingdoms could live in peace and prosperity, Froggy told them.
Sounds like our United Nations, Alex whispered to Connor.
All the kingdoms have their own traditions and celebrated histories, Froggy went on.
And there are kings and queens, I'm assuming? Connor asked.
Oh, yes, Froggy said. The Northern Kingdom is ruled by Queen Snow White. The Corner Kingdom is watched over by Queen Rapunzel. The Sleeping Kingdom, formerly known as the Eastern Kingdom, but renamed after the dreadful curse under which it was placed, is governed by Queen Sleeping Beauty. And of course, the Charming Kingdom is ruled by King Charming and his wife, Queen Cinderella.
Wait, are these the current monarchs? Alex asked,
with a spark of excitement in her eyes.
You mean Cinderella, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty? They're all still alive?
Of course they are, Froggy said.
Oh my goodness, that is wonderful, Alex said excitedly. Isn't that wonderful, Connor?
Whatever, Connor mumbled.
How old do you think they are? Froggy asked.
Queen Snow White and King Charming have only been married a few years. Queen Cinderella and King Charming are expecting their first child soon. Queen Sleeping Beauty and King Charming are sadly still trying to restore their kingdom to consciousness after that horrible sleeping spell it was placed under.
Wait, Connor said. Are you saying all these queens are married to the same guy?
Certainly not, Froggy said. There are three King Charmings. They're brothers.
Of course, Alex said. Snow White, Cinderella, and Sleeping Beauty all married Prince Charming. There's more than one. How come I never thought of that?
Connor's eyes were fixated on the map. He kept searching for some kind of road or bridge that would lead them back home, but he found nothing.
Why are there a bunch of rocks around the Troll and Goblin Territory? Connor asked.
As punishment, Froggy said. Trolls and goblins are nasty creatures, and have a habit of kidnapping people and turning them into slaves. The Fairy Council forced the trolls and goblins into one territory, and none of them are allowed to leave without permission.
Fairy Council? Alex asked.
This world was almost too good to be true.
Yes, They're a group of the most powerful fairies of the kingdoms, Froggy explained. Cinderella's fairy godmother is one of them, and so is Mother Goose, and all the fairies that blessed Sleeping Beauty when she was a baby are on it, too. They rule the fairy kingdom and are the leaders of the Happily Ever After Assembly.
Is the Red Riding Hood Kingdom under some sort of punishment, too? Connor asked. Why is there a huge wall built around it?
Alex looked down at the map and back up at Froggy, equally curious. That was a result of the Kral Revolution, Froggy said.
What was the Kral Revolution? Alex asked.
The citizens' riots against wolf liberty, Froggy explained. The Red Riding Hood Kingdom used to be a group of villages in the Northern Kingdom that were constantly under attack by wolves. They begged the Evil Queen, Snow White's stepmother, who was on the throne at the time, to help them. But the Evil Queen was too occupied with her vanity, so they revolted and started their own kingdom. They built a huge wall around it so no wolves could get in.
And now Red Riding Hood is the queen? Alex asked.
Yes, she's the only elected queen in history, Froggy said. The villagers figured her story was the most symbolic of the struggle, so they chose her to lead them.
But isn't she just a little girl?
Alex asked. No, she's a young woman now. A very self-obsessed young woman, from what I hear. After all, she named the kingdom after herself. Her grandmother does most of the decision-making while she takes all the credit, Froggy said. Unfortunately, the Kral Revolution only led to the rise of the Big Bad Wolf Pack.
The Big Bad Wolf Pack? Connor asked.
Yes. They're the descendants of the original Big Bad Wolf. They travel around terrorizing villages and attacking unsuspecting travelers, Froggy said.
Oh, joy, Connor said sarcastically. I'm sorry I asked.
But besides that, things are very peaceful throughout the kingdoms, Froggy said. His voice drifted off, and uncertainty grew on his face.
That was until a week ago.
The twins leaned forward.
What happened a week ago? Alex asked. The Evil Queen escaped from the dungeons of Snow White's palace, Froggy told them. I thought everyone had heard.
It's news to us, Connor said.
That can't be good, Alex said. How'd she escape?
No one knows, Froggy said. She just vanished along with her magic mirror. Snow White's army has been searching throughout all the kingdoms for her. They pass through these woods at least twice a day. So far, they found nothing, not even a footprint, to lead them in her direction.
Do you think they're going to find her? Connor asked.
I hope so, Froggy said. She's a very dangerous woman. She's the only queen in history to lose her throne. I couldn't imagine the revenge she must be seeking. Who knows what she's planning to do next?
Alex suddenly became very tense. It had just occurred to her that, along with all the characters she had grown up loving, all the ones she hated and feared actually existed too. It made her feel very uneasy and very unsafe. The fire in the fireplace began to fade, and Froggy got up to add another log. The twins' eyes and mouths were wide open, and their heads were spinning from all this new information.
Exactly how far away do you live from here?
Froggy asked as he sat back down across from them. The twins looked to each other, back at Froggy, and then back at each other. They didn't know what to tell him. Would he believe them if they told him the truth?
It's practically a different world, Connor said.
Alex shot him a dirty look, and then nervously laughed, trying to make light of what her brother just said. Froggy wasn't laughing. He sat straight up in his seat, and his face grew very still, with an intensity in his eyes, as if he had found the solution to a mystery.
Interesting, Froggy said, eyeing the twins back and forth. Because if I didn't know better, just from the way you dress and the way you speak, and the way you were so surprised at basic history, I would say that there was a very good chance you are indeed from a different world.
They didn't understand what he was trying to say. Did he know something that they didn't?
Just out of curiosity, have you ever heard of another world?
Alex asked him.
Or preferably how to get back to it, Connor added.
Froggy studied their faces even more intently for a moment. He got up again and went to a bookshelf on the far side of the room. He rustled through the books, looking for something of special interest. Finally, he found it, a small leather-bound journal with a red band around it.
Have either of you ever heard of the wishing spell? Froggy asked the twins.
Alex and Connor shook their heads. Froggy flipped through the pages of the journal.
I assume not, he said.
It's a legendary spell comprised of a list of items, and apparently, when you put the items together, you are granted one wish. It doesn't matter how extravagant the wish is, the wishing spell will grant it. Many people believe that it's only a myth, and I did too, until I found this journal.
What does the journal have to do with anything? Connor asked.
It was written by a man from the Charming Kingdom, Froggy said. He managed to discover what these items were, and he recorded his journey to find them. His one wish was to reunite with the woman he loved, and in the journal, he claimed she lived in another world. Alex and Connor sat straight up. They were sitting on the edges of their seats without realizing it. I thought the man writing the journal was crazy. I didn't believe another world could exist until I began finding your books, Alex. And then when I saw you bickering in the forest, I knew you two were different, Froggy said. I knew you had to be from the place that man had written about. The twins were happy the truth was out. Froggy seemed genuinely excited about the whole thing. Did he make it? Alex asked. Did the man cross over into the other world? He must have, Froggy said. The journal ends when he found the last item. Froggy handed the twins the journal and took a seat in his chair. Wherever you're from, if it's home that you wish to go back to, I think your best chance is by following this journal. The twins went silent for a moment. They stared down at the journal in his hands with immense hope. What items does the spell require? Alex asked. All sorts from all over, Froggy told her. But the journal gives great instructions on where and how to find them. Some of them are very dangerous to get to.
Of course they are, Connor said. Typical.
If the spell will grant whatever wish you want, why didn't you search for the items and wish to be human again? Alex asked Froggy. Froggy thought about this for a moment. It was a question he had asked himself many times, and he was ashamed of the answer. I've kept the journal all these years in case I ever decided to, Froggy explained with difficulty. But searching for the items would mean I'd have to face the world looking like this. And, frankly, children, that's something I'm not ready to do. It's something I don't think I'll ever be able to do. He spoke from a place of deep sadness. Clearly, he wasn't finished learning the witch's lesson yet. It's getting late, Froggy said. Why don't you sleep on it and decide what you want to do in the morning? You're welcome to stay here as long as you'd like. Thank you, Alex said. I hope we aren't a bother. No bother at all, Froggy smiled earnestly. Froggy got them a large blanket to share. He blew out all the lamps and put out the fire in the fireplace. Alex and Connor tossed and turned with the thoughts of the wishing spell all night, but there was no decision to make. If the journal offered a possible way home, they would have to do everything and anything it instructed them to. They had no choice. They were about to embark on the greatest scavenger hunt of their lives. Chapter 6. The Dwarf Forests.
I packed you some food, a couple blankets, and a few gold coins I've been saving, Froggy told the twins, and handed Connor a sheepskin satchel.
Thank you so much, Alex said. It's so kind of you.
Now, when you say food, what exactly are you referring to? Connor asked, holding the satchel a safe distance away from him.
Some rolls and apples, Froggy told him.
Oh, good, Connor said, relieved. Froggy handed Alex the map and journal they had been looking at the previous night.
Are you sure you're ready for this? Froggy asked them. You're both awfully young to be going on a quest like this.
Alex and Connor looked to each other, each thinking the same thing. It was hard enough to navigate around their own world at their age. Could they really travel around a different world altogether without the help of an adult? But the twins found reassurance in each other's eyes. They knew that, through it all, they'd at least have each other.
We really don't have any other choice, Alex said. Thank you so much for all your help, Froggy. We would still be lost in the woods without you.
Froggy smiled widely and nodded.
Of course, he said. I should be thanking you. I rarely have an opportunity to feel so useful.
Are you sure you don't want to come with us? Alex asked.
A map is great and all, but a tour guide would be much better.
At first, Froggy's smile grew with excitement as he was tempted by the idea. The thought of traveling out into the world and leaving his hole-in-the-ground home was so alluring, it was clear he could feel the temptation throughout his entire body. However, his fears and insecurities about the outside world seeing him and what he had become erased the opportunity from his mind.
I can't, children, Froggy said with a heavy heart. But I wish you the best.
The twins were disappointed, but they understood. It was difficult for them even to go to school with just a small blemish on their faces. They couldn't imagine the stress of facing the world as an enormous amphibian.
It's very important that you get out of the dwarf forest by sundown, Froggy instructed. Go to the path and travel south into the Corner Kingdom. It's a few hours' walk, but you'll be safer there. Travel as quickly and quietly as you can. Promise me.
The twins promised. Alex gave Froggy a big hug and kissed his cheek. Connor shook his hand and then wiped it on his pants.
I hope we see each other again, Alex told him.
That would be lovely, but for your sakes, I hope we don't, Froggy said, and winked.
Connor clapped his hands. All right, those items for the wishing spell aren't going to find themselves, he said. Let's go. The twins pushed open the door and climbed up from inside the underground home. As they headed into the forest, Froggy waved goodbye until he was out of their sight. Soon, they were back on the dirt path they had landed on the previous day, and they headed south as they had been instructed. It was very unnerving for the twins to be alone on the path now that they understood the dangers of the forest. They regretted not trying harder to persuade Froggy into coming with them. They jumped at every tiny sound the trees made. Alex and Connor remained silent for the first hour or so as they walked, afraid that their voices would attract unwanted attention from some of the creatures Froggy had warned them about.
We're very brave, Alex finally said to her brother, breaking the silence.
Or very stupid, Connor said.
The path curved through the forest, revealing new trees and bushes every few feet. After some time had passed, the twins could feel their nerves and tension calm. Their pace became slower and slower the more they walked, as they became more comfortable with being in the forest. Connor let out a long sigh.
What's that for? Alex asked him.
I was just thinking, Connor said. Alice went to Wonderland after she fell into a rabbit hole. Dorothy's whole house was scooped up by a tornado that dropped her off in Oz. The Narnia kids traveled through an old wardrobe, and we ended up in the fairy tale world by falling through a book.
Where are you going with this, Connor? Alex said.
I'm just saying, it's kind of lame compared to the others, Connor said with another sigh. I wonder if there's a support group for people like us. You know, people who accidentally travel into other dimensions and whatnot.
Alex was appalled.
Do you not get how lucky we are? She said. Think about all the things we're going to see. Think about all the people we're going to meet. We're going to be experiencing things no one else in our world ever has.
Connor rolled his eyes.
I'll feel lucky as soon as we get back home.
Alex reached into her bag and pulled out their map. Her eyes became fixated on it, and she only looked up every minute or so to make sure she wasn't about to walk into a tree. Every few seconds, she'd snicker or smile when she discovered something new. She looked like a tourist.
Shouldn't we be reading the journal? Connor asked.
We need to make a list of the wishing spell items and find out where we can find them.
We will, Alex said passively. There'll be plenty of time for that.
Connor was getting frustrated with her. Did she not realize how serious the situation was?
We need to go home, Connor said. What are we waiting for?
There are just a couple things I would like to see before we go home, Alex told him.
What are you talking about?
Connor said, his volume and temper rising.
We're in the fairy tale world, Connor. We should make the most of it while we're here, Alex said. Who else gets the chance to see Cinderella's palace, or Jack's beanstalk, or Rapunzel's tower in person?
Connor's mouth and eyes were wide open. He couldn't believe what his sister was saying.
We're stuck in another world, and you want to go sightseeing? He said. Are you hearing yourself right now? Do you know how crazy you sound?
She stopped walking and turned to face her brother. There was seriousness and desperation in her eyes.
Connor, the last year of our lives has been horrible. We've lost everything but Mom and each other, Alex said. Every night I've wished for a fairy godmother to magically appear and make everything better, and now we're in a place where that is a possibility. I don't have friends to go home to like you do. The only friends I've ever known live here, and I'm not going home until I meet them.
Alex continued walking down the path. Connor was absolutely dumbstruck.
Why am I being the logical one? Connor questioned. You're always overthinking everything. How are you not out of your mind with worry?
What's there to be worried about? Alex asked him with a laugh.
For starters, what's Mom gonna do when she finds out we're missing? Connor pointed out. She'll think we were kidnapped, and she has enough to worry about already.
Alex knew he was right, but her desire to see the fairy tale world was so strong that she was able to ignore him.
All I need is a day or two, Alex said. That'll give us plenty of time.
How are you so sure these worlds run on the same time schedule? Connor panicked. Think about it. The stories of Cinderella and Red Riding Hood have been around for hundreds of years in our world, but it only seems like a decade or less has gone by here since. A couple days here and Mom could be in her 80s when we get home.
Connor rubbed his head. It hurt from thinking so hard. Alex was listening more than she wanted to. He was practically repeating word for word what the logical voices in her head were saying.
What if something happens while we're gone? Connor asked. What if we get back and apes or aliens have taken over our planet? If I miss that, I will never forgive you. Alex stopped walking and looked up from the map. A very odd expression appeared on her face. Didn't think of that, did you? Connor asked her, but Alex wasn't listening to him. Something else entirely had caught her attention.
Do you smell that?
Alex asked. What? Connor said. All I smell are trees and dirt. Alex took a couple steps further.
No, it's something else. It's sweet, like something's baking.
Connor sniffed. Sure enough, a scrumptious smell was drifting through the air.
It smells like gingerbread, Alex said.
She looked at her brother with large, excited eyes. Oh no, Connor said. Before he could stop her, Alex took off running into the trees, away from the path, toward the direction that aroma was coming from.
Alex, wait! Connor ordered. Come back! You don't know where you're going!
Alex bolted through the trees, jumping over boulders and bushes as she passed them. The scent became stronger and stronger the farther she strayed from the path. Connor was right behind her, urging her to turn around. Finally, Alex came to a halt, and Connor bumped into her. She found exactly what she was hoping to see. A small gingerbread house sat in between two large trees. White frosting covered its pointed roof. Gumdrops were clumped around like shrubbery, and candy canes lined the path to the front door like a picket fence.
Look, Connor,
Alex said, catching her breath.
It's a gingerbread house, a real gingerbread house. Look how cute it is.
Whoa, Connor said. I feel like I may get diabetes just from looking at that place.
Let's go inside, Alex said, and stepped toward the house.
Connor grabbed her arm.
Have you lost your mind? Do the words Hansel and Gretel cannibalism incident mean anything to you? I just want to peek inside for a second. Only one second.
The door of the gingerbread house slowly opened. Alex and Connor froze. A large hooded figure squeezed out of the door and then raised its head to stare at the twins. It was, undoubtedly, a witch. And although they had never seen a real witch to make a comparison to, she was more grotesque than they could have imagined. Her skin was wrinkled and pale with a yellowish tint. Her eyes were bloodshot and bulged out of her head. She was hunched over and had an enormous hump on her back.
Hello, children,
the witch said. Her voice was high-pitched and crackly.
Would you care to join me for a bite to eat?
It was impossible for the twins to hide their fear. They both stood still, staring at her as if she were a rabid Tyrannosaurus Rex about to pounce on them at any moment.
No, thank you, Alex said. We're just passing by. You have a lovely home.
They slowly backed up, one foot at a time.
Wouldn't you like to see the inside?
The witch asked. The inside of whom? Connor said, and Alex elbowed him.
Don't be silly, kiddies. Come inside, said the witch, losing her patience.
She extended an inviting, shaking hand toward them. They noticed it was covered in burn marks, perhaps from the last time she had visitors.
I thought the witch died at the end of Hansel and Gretel, Alex whispered to Connor.
Maybe she got hold of a fire extinguisher after they left, Connor whispered back. They continued backing slowly away from her.
Thank you so much for the invitation, but we really need to get going, Alex said.
We're on a really tight schedule, Connor added. We're meeting a couple dwarfs for coffee in a half hour, so we better get a move on.
They quickly took off in the direction they'd come from, but came to a jarring stop when the witch suddenly appeared in front of them with a pop.
They tried running back the other way, but the witch just appeared in front of them again with a snap. They were trapped.
You aren't going anywhere, the witch said.
She seemed to grow taller, and her eyes bulged bigger as her patience ran out.
Now be nice little chickies and follow me inside.
Alex, this is like one of those bad videos about strangers from the first grade, Connor whispered to her. Do you still have your kidnapping whistle?
You don't want to eat us, Alex told the witch. We've been walking for a while, so we're really dehydrated. We're practically just skin and bone.
The witch was definitely growing. Her hump shrank as her body rose higher.
Your friend seems to be rather plump,
the witch said, looking at Connor like a praying mantis about to strike.
He has more than enough to spare.
She was practically salivating. I beg your pardon. Connor was so offended he forgot how terrifying she was. I'll have you know I'm on the edge of another growth spurt, and I always get a little pudgy before one.
Connor, please don't,
Alex tried, but was too late. Why do you want your victims chubby anyway? Wouldn't it be healthier if they were muscular and fit? Connor said. The witch looked at the side and raised an eyebrow. She had never considered this.
Her consideration must have distracted her from attacking the twins, because she began to shrink back to her normal humped shape.
If you ask me, Connor continued, you should turn your gingerbread house into a gingerbread gym and health club.
Alex often couldn't believe the crazy things that her brother said, but this one took the cake.
What a delicious idea,
the witch cackled.
I'll rebuild as soon as I'm finished with you.
The witch began to grow again. This time, her mouth opened wide, and a set of jagged teeth grew out of it. She was going in for the attack. Alex screamed,
Wait!
With her hands covering her face, she said,
You owe him!
The witch recoiled into her smaller form.
I owe him?
She asked.
Yes! Isn't that how it works? Alex said. He presented you with an idea, and now you owe him a wish!
A wish?
The witch asked.
A wish? Connor asked.
Alex nodded convincingly. The witch grunted.
Yes, the happily ever after assembly just enacted a new law, Alex said, thinking on the tips of her toes. Any witch presented with a good idea must return the favor by granting a wish.
Yeah, said Connor, going along with it. Don't make Mother Goose fly down here. She'll let her geese loose on you, and some of them lay golden eggs, and that can't feel good. Who knows how aggressive they'll be?
Fine. The witch said, I shall grant you one wish, but only because I don't want to deal with those fluttering freaks again.
Connor leaned close to his sister.
What should I wish for? Should I wish to go home?
He whispered.
No, she'll try to trick us with whatever we wish for. It has to be really specific, Alex said.
Hurry, child, I'm hungry,
the witch demanded.
Okay, said Connor, thinking as fast as he could. It had to be a good one. It had to help him get out of the situation.
I wish you would become a vegetarian, he said to the witch.
Alex turned her head sharply toward her brother.
That's what you picked?
Very well,
the witch shrieked. The twins weren't sure if she knew what a vegetarian was. She reached her hands toward the sky and clapped, making a sound as loud as thunder. The twins ducked, but the wish appeared to have done the trick. The witch's hump faded away. The yellowish tint of her skin disappeared, and her bloodshot eyes calmed.
I've lost my appetite,
the witch said. She shrugged her shoulders, turned away from Alex and Connor, and walked into the gingerbread house, slamming the door behind her. Alex and Connor took a deep breath. Their bodies had never been so tense.
That was a close one, Alex said.
You're welcome, Connor said.
How did you think of wishing for her to become a vegetarian?
Alex asked.
Connor scratched his head. It was the only sure way I knew she wouldn't eat us.
Alex smiled at him. She wasn't given too many moments to be proud of her brother, so when the chance came, she soaked it up for all it was worth.
Nice job, but let's get out of here in case your wish wears off.
The twins hurried back through the forest until they returned to the path. They continued heading south, this time keeping to a faster pace. They had had their first dangerous encounter in the fairy tale world, and they weren't in a hurry for the next. Alex and Connor had been hurrying along the path for a while when Connor said,
Alex, I've got to sit down. I feel like my legs are going to fall off.
Connor, we have to keep moving. It's already afternoon, and Froggy said we need to cross into the Corner Kingdom before nightfall,
Alex warned.
Easy for him to say. He has frog legs, Connor said through heavy breathing.
Just for a couple minutes, and then we'll keep going, I promise.
All right, but let's find someplace safe, Alex said.
They continued walking a little farther and found a pleasant opening between some trees. Connor found a fallen tree to sit on and catch his breath. Alex looked around at the trees of the forest, noticing that they were all different shapes and sizes and shades of green. She was still bewildered by everything that had happened.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Alex said.
All of this has been at our fingertips the whole time, and we never knew.
She took a seat next to her brother, grinning from ear to ear.
What do you think Dad and Grandma would make of all this?
Alex asked him.
What do you think they would say if they knew all of this was actually real?
From the way they always talked about fairy tales, you'd think they did, Connor said.
I couldn't help but smile at the thought.
I have 1,000 reasons why I wish Dad was still alive, Alex said. But now I wish it more than ever, just so we could bring him back and show all of this to him and Grandma.
We have to get back first, Connor reminded her. And while we're on the subject, I think we should take a look at that journal. The sooner we read it, the sooner we can get back home.
I know, she told him. But we should at least see a castle or a palace first. Dad and Grandma would have wanted us to.
Connor grunted.
Alex, we just barely escaped being lunch for a witch. We can't waste any more time.
The sounds of a few twigs snapping came from across the clearing as something approached. Alex and Connor ducked down behind the fallen tree, hidden from view. A cream-colored horse slowly traveled into the clearing. It picked up its hooves in a peculiar manner, as if it had been trained to tiptoe. A woman was riding the horse, and she looked cautiously around the clearing as they entered it. She was young and beautiful. Her eyes were big and blue, and her hair was half up and flowed into long, golden curls. She wore a long, maroon knit coat with black leggings and very tall boots. The woman and her horse moved covertly into the center of the clearing.
"Easy, Porridge," said the woman, stroking the horse. "That's a good girl. Nice and slow."
She hopped down from the horse and made her way to a tree. Alex could see that some sort of paper was pinned to it, and after taking a closer look, saw it was the wanted poster for Goldilocks that she'd seen the day before. The woman shook her head after reading it. She ripped it off the tree and crumpled it up.
"Who is that? What is she doing?" Connor whispered to his sister. "Do I look psychic to you?"
Alex whispered back at him. Suddenly, the woman's head jerked in their direction. Whoever she was, she had a remarkable sense of hearing. She drew a large sword from inside her coat and raised it high in the air. Her gaze was stern and determined. She was obviously someone to be reckoned with. She stepped closer to where Alex and Connor were hiding. A piercing wolf howl boomed through the forest. It was so loud that Alex and Connor covered their ears. The woman spun around and pointed her sword in the opposite direction of the twins.
"Porridge, get ready. We're about to have company," she said.
"Who?" Alex and Connor mouthed to each other. Creeping through the trees toward them were half a dozen wolves. However, these wolves were unlike any the twins had ever seen before. They were four times the size of any normal wolf of their world. Their fur was jet black and matted. Their eyes were red, and their snouts were wide. These wolves were ready to kill at any minute. Without a doubt, the twins had come face to face with the big bad wolf pack. Alex and Connor held onto each other, shaking with fear. The woman in the maroon coat never showed a hint of panic. She pointed her sword at the largest of the wolves, standing in the middle of the pack. The wolves growled and grit their teeth toward her.
"Hello, Malum Claw," the woman said.
"Hello, Goldilocks,"
Malum Claw growled. The twins were both in silent hysterics.
"Goldilocks! That's Goldilocks!"
Alex mouthed to Connor.
"The wolf talks! It talks!"
he mouthed back to her.
"I'm surprised you're not chained down in some Red Riding Hood Kingdom jail cell yet,"
Malum Claw said to Goldilocks.
"I'm surprised you haven't been turned into a rug for a child's nursery yet," Goldilocks said. "What brings you to this part of the forest? There isn't an innocent village for your pack to torment for miles."
Goldilocks never lowered her sword. The other wolves in Malum Claw's pack slowly surrounded her in Porridge.
"My pack is hungry. We've stopped for an afternoon snack," the wolf said.
"Have you really come to eat me?" Goldilocks said. "I thought you'd have learned your lesson by now. I bite back."
She gripped her sword even tighter.
Malum Claw laughed.
"The wolf can laugh! It can laugh!"
Connor mouthed to Alex.
"You are far too small a portion,"
Malum Claw told her with an evil, wolfish grin.
"Your horse, however, has plenty to go around."
Alex and Connor had never seen a horse look as frightened as Porridge did. Had she not been so light-colored, they would have sworn she had gone pale.
"If you so much as scratch her, I will wear you as a coat. Do you understand me?"
Goldilocks warned him.
"All people do in this world is eat one another,"
Connor whispered to Alex, and as soon as he did, he knew he shouldn't have. A wolf turned in the twins' direction.
"Malum Claw, I think I just heard something,"
it growled. Alex covered her mouth so as not to scream. The wolf began sniffing vigorously in the air.
"I smell two children, one boy and one girl."
Goldilocks seemed as surprised as the rest of the wolves to learn this. So that was who she had heard behind her moments before. The twins could hear their own heartbeats. What was going to happen next? Was Goldilocks going to rat them out to save her horse? Had they just narrowly escaped being devoured by a witch, only to be eaten by a pack of overgrown wolves?
"I'm afraid you just missed them," Goldilocks said. "I frightened them away just like I frightened you the last time our paths crossed."
"Then horse it is,"
Malum Claw declared. All the wolves howled together. It was deafening. They began circling Goldilocks and Porridge, getting closer and closer.
The wolves snapped at them with their enormous jaws, and Goldilocks swung her sword at them. One wolf tried to pounce on Porridge, but the horse kicked him away with her hind legs. Another wolf tried to bite Goldilocks, but she struck him with her sword, drawing blood, and he whimpered away. Goldilocks was the best swordswoman the twins had ever seen. Anytime one of the wolves got so much as a claw close to her or her horse, she was quick to shield them. Porridge wasn't so bad herself. She wasn't shy about kicking away any wolf that was too close for comfort. A wolf leaped and sank its claws into Porridge's back. The horse bucked to free herself. In one quick slice, Goldilocks chopped one of the wolf's paws off. He limped into the forest, howling in pain. Two wolves teamed up on Goldilocks. One leaped toward her, and she tripped over the other one. Her sword flew into the air and landed close to where the twins were hiding. Goldilocks was on the ground, unarmed. The wolves were closing in on her and the horse, going in for the kill. "Catch!" Connor yelled, and tossed the sword straight to her. Goldilocks swung it hard at the wolves closing in on her, leaving large gashes in their muzzles.
"Retreat!" Malumclaw ordered his pack. "No snack is worth all this trouble."
The wolves stampeded into the forest, growling and howling in anger, letting the rest of the forest know they were on their way.
"Until we meet again, Goldilocks,"
Malumclaw called out, as he disappeared into the trees with the rest of the wolves. Goldilocks got to her feet and put her sword away. She was out of breath and, now that the enemy had left, much more vulnerable than she had shown in combat. She petted Porridge's nose and dabbed the horse's wounds with the fabric of her coat.
"Good girl, Porridge," Goldilocks said.
She turned and faced the fallen tree Alex and Connor were hiding behind.
"You can come out now," Goldilocks said.
The twins were hesitant at first. Then Connor popped up and exclaimed,
"That was awesome!"
"Connor,"
Alex said, popping up beside him.
"That was one heck of a fight," Connor continued. "You know, at first I really thought they had you. I never expected a girl and her horse could be any match for six hungry wolves. But you impressed me. Where did you learn to fight like that?"
Goldilocks was not amused by his enthusiasm.
"When you've been on the run as long as I have, you pick up a few tricks here and there."
She turned around and remounted her horse with a jump.
"So it is really you?" Alex asked. "Are you really Goldilocks? The woman wanted dead or alive for all her crimes?"
"Don't believe everything you read,"
she said sternly, and then pulled on Porridge's reins and galloped away. But she only traveled a few feet before she steered Porridge back to the twins.
"Thank you for your assistance," Goldilocks said.
Connor nodded.
"Here, take this, in case you need it."
Goldilocks reached into the side of her boot and pulled out a silver dagger. She tossed it on the ground.
"Now get as far away from here as possible. Those wolves will be back sooner than you expect."
And with that said, Goldilocks and Porridge galloped off into the forest. Alex and Connor stood motionless, watching her ride off out of sight.
"That was amazing," Connor said.
He retrieved the dagger from the ground and put it inside their satchel. As terrifying as that was, it was kind of nice to see another human for a change.
"We'd better get out of here," Alex said, "and this time, we aren't stopping until we know we're out of the dwarf forests."
Connor couldn't agree more. The twins continued down the dirt path, running this time. They had experienced more danger today than they had ever experienced in their entire lives. Unfortunately for them, it wouldn't be their last encounter with Goldilocks, the big bad wolf pack, or the dwarf forests.